All right, welcome back, everyone. We're diving into a book suggested by one of you awesome listeners.
Yeah, Zechariah.
Zechariah. Not the most well-known book in the Bible.
Definitely under the radar for many people.
But packed with all sorts of...
Oh, absolutely. Visions, prophecies.
Visions and prophecies gives us plenty to unpack. So, quick background for anyone just joining us.
Right.
Zechariah is writing this, what, around 520 BC?
Yeah, right around there. The Israelites are back in Jerusalem after the whole Babylonian exile thing.
Trying to rebuild.
Exactly. Rebuilding their lives, rebuilding the temple. It's a time of, well, you can imagine.
A lot of uncertainty.
Absolutely. And that's where Zechariah comes in, urging them to return to God.
Right. And that's where those visions come into play.
Yeah. I mean, the imagery is wild. He talks about seeing like four chariots.
Chariots.
Yeah. Each with horses of a different color, red, black, white, and dappled. And they're coming out from between these bronze mountains.
Bronze mountains.
Bronze mountains. It's like something straight out of a fantasy epic.
Okay, I gotta ask, what do the chariots symbolize?
Well, Zechariah interprets them as representing God's judgment, you know, like God's power and spirit moving across the earth.
I mean, it definitely paints a vivid picture.
For sure. But it's so different from how we understand the world today, right?
Totally. Yeah. Back then, seeing those chariots, it must have been, I don't know, awe-inspiring, maybe even terrifying.
Yeah. Makes you think about how our interpretations of things evolve over time, especially when you're talking about ancient texts and modern science.
Yeah, you can't just read these things literally. Got to think about the context.
Absolutely. The cultural lens, the historical circumstances, all of that shapes how we understand what we're reading.
Makes sense. So let's jump into another story that caught my eye.
Oh, yeah. Which one?
The one with Joshua the high priest. He's standing before God, but there's this other character involved.
You're talking about Satan, right? Zechariah 3.
Yeah, Satan. He's there accusing Joshua. God's got to step in and make a judgment call.
And God ultimately decides to rebuke Satan and cleanse Joshua, gives him a clean slate, so to speak.
Interesting. What does that tell us about, you know, how justice works in this worldview?
Well, it emphasizes divine forgiveness, God's mercy. But it also raises the question of accountability.
Right. If God can just wipe the slate clean, how do we make sense of consequences?
Exactly. It's a tension that still resonates today. How do we balance forgiveness with the need for justice?
Makes you think. But Zechariah isn't all doom and gloom, is it? There's also a lot of talk about hope for the future.
You're right. He focuses a lot on the idea of restoration. And this hope is tied to the coming of a messianic figure who will bring peace.
A messianic figure. We've heard that before in other parts of the Bible. So what's Zechariah's take on this?
Well, some of his prophecies are pretty ambiguous. Take the one about 30 pieces of silver.
The 30 pieces of silver, what's that about?
Zechariah talks about a shepherd who's betrayed for that price. Now, some people link this to Judas betraying Jesus, but...
But Zechariah was writing way before that.
Exactly. Centuries before. So, scholars debate whether it's a direct prophecy or something more symbolic. It shows how tricky it can be to interpret these things.
So, no clear consensus on what the 30 pieces of silver refers to?
Not really. Some say it's a later interpretation being read back into the text, while others see it as a more general representation of betrayal and its consequences. Either way, it highlights the importance of context.
For sure. Zechariah really throws us a curveball with all this talk about prophecy and interpretation. It's not as straightforward as some people might think.
You got that right. But there's another layer to this whole thing. Zechariah is big on the idea of divine intervention.
Divine intervention, you mean like God directly influencing events?
Yeah, that God is basically orchestrating everything that happens.
Whoa, so where does that leave free will? If God's calling the shots, what choice do we really have?
That's the million-dollar question. Divine intervention versus free will. It's a debate that has philosophers and theologians scratching their heads for centuries.
And it all goes back to this book written over 2,500 years ago. It's amazing how these ancient texts can still spark such relevant questions.
Absolutely. Zechariah forces us to confront those big questions about human agency. Are we really in control of our lives, or are we just playing out a predetermined script?
Definitely gives you something to ponder. And for those of you listening, here's a thought to chew on. If Zechariah were alive today, what would he make of our modern world? Would he see signs of divine intervention at play? What would his prophecies look like in the age of technology and globalization? Lots to think about.
A lot to think about.